Well, good evening. We appreciate you for tuning in again and appreciate this privilege and opportunity to be able to broadcast again and record again. Appreciate those of you who listened to yesterday's message and got some texts and comments that you received help and the Lord helped you, and I'm grateful for that. And anything good that comes of any of this, of course, the glory and the honor is owing and deserving unto Him. And certainly we desire your prayers for tonight and tomorrow night that the Lord will help us. And got this thought on my heart, have had it on my heart for all day and evening yesterday, and even before this, really began to pray about these days of services, days of recording. And God dealt with my heart about some scriptures, several at one time. And this is one of them. And so I want to try my best by the help of the Lord, be obedient unto Him, and try our best to be a help and a blessing to you. We're going to be reading tonight in the book of Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6, very familiar scripture to all of us. We all know the story, know it very well. Teach our children about this man by the name of Noah and him building the ark and all the things that go along with that. But I want to read these verses. I want to read the entire chapter of Genesis chapter 6 and try our best to give you what's on our heart from the Lord tonight. Genesis chapter 6 and beginning in verse number 1. The Bible said, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. They took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. Also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These were the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. This is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. The door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. Behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die, but with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou, thy sons, and thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, 2 of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, for it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Read these verses here in Genesis chapter 6, read the entire chapter, verse 1 through 22. And we know about this man by the name of Noah. The more I live and the more I see about the circumstances of the days and hours that we're living in and all the things that are taking place, the more I'm interested in knowing about this man by the name of Noah. The more I consider about the last days that we're living in, and surely we are in the last days. Makes no difference what you believe. I'm not here to debate. I'm not here to argue. I'm not here to cause any strife or contention or to cause you to tune me out or turn me off. But make no difference what you believe. Certainly anybody with any kind of spiritual discernment can look around and at least in part understand that all the things that are spoken about that would occur in the last days are happening all around us. And as I begin to think about what the Lord said, that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And as I think about that, the more I'm interested in knowing about this man by the name of Noah, and knowing about his days, the Bible is very clear how to tell us about what his days were like. And the Bible said that the earth was filled with violence and men were corrupt, and that every thought and the imagination of the hearts of man was evil continually. If you look around in our world, it's very clear and evident to see that mankind is in that shape again today. That not just our nation. And I want to go on record and say that I'm proud to be an American. I thank God to be born in a free country where we have the freedom to worship God and carry the gospel as God instructs us to do so. But I'm telling you that not just our nation, but the whole world has become corrupt before God. Never have I seen a day of violence such as we're seeing in our day. Never have I seen such a corrupt society as we're seeing in our day. And Jesus said it would be so as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. But take heart to that, child of God. Many times we look at that scripture and we think it's all drudgery and it's all darkness and it's all doom and gloom. But the Bible said in the midst of it all, in the midst of the sin, in the midst of the wickedness, in the midst of the vain imaginations and the corruption of mankind, that there was a man by the name of Noah that found grace in the eyes of God. And not only did he find grace, but the Bible said that he walked with God. And if Noah can walk with God in his day, I think we can walk with God in ours. If Noah can find grace in God's sight in his day and all the wickedness that was going on so bad, mind you, that the Bible said that it repented God that he had ever even made man on the face of the earth. But I'm glad in spite of all that, and in the midst of all that, there's a man by the name of Noah that the world ain't paying much attention to, and society don't care about, but he walks with God, and God walks with him, and nobody else might not know him, but there's a God in heaven that knows old Noah, and that's the only one that matters anyway. And here we are tonight. But I think nobody cares, and nobody knows about us, that the situation will never be the same, that we can't do what we all want to do, but what we like to do, that there's a God in heaven who's looking down on us, and we can walk with him in this day. So here's old Noah. He's walking with God. The Word of God comes to him. I don't have time to preach it all. I'm trying to hurry and get down to where my heart is for the service tonight and what's on my heart to preach. But here the Word from God comes to Noah and he says, build you an ark. He said, I'm going to destroy the whole earth and everything in it, but I want you to build an ark. For you found grace in my side. And he gave Noah the dimensions, told him to build it this long, this high, this wide, how many stories to put in it, to make rooms in the ark. And by the way, let me say, I know that there's greater and deeper theological meaning to Noah and the ark, that there's a good type and a picture of the church and the child of God, that if you're going to be saved, you've got to be saved the way God says, that God has a plan and a purpose, and he's got us in the ark, and we'll be saved from the storm and the wrath and the judgment to come as long as we're in the ark of safety. God says, Noah, this is how to build it. Build it this wide, this high, this long. He tells him where to put the door in the side. But what I'm interested in tonight, if the Lord would help me for just a few minutes, is in verse number 16. And to my knowledge, I've never preached on this before in my life. Never, if I'd be honest with you, I've never had given much thought until this week. But I want to preach tonight about this window in the ark. He said, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. Now we know about the story of Noah. We know about what's fixing to come. We know about what happens when Noah goes in the ark. And God shuts the door and it begins to rain. And the Bible said it rains for 40 days and 40 nights. But not just does it rain, but the fountains of the deep are broken up. And so that the waters come up from the earth and down from the heavens. And the Bible said the whole earth was covered with water. Every mountaintop's covered. Every place is covered. Nothing can be seen but water on the face of the earth. And we understand and realize that Noah was in the ark far longer than 40 days and 40 nights. But it's in there for a reason. The biblical significance of the number that it rained for 40 days, not 30, not 20, not 39 and a half, but it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And if you study in your Bible, you'll find that 40, the number 40, is often associated with testing and with trials. It was 40 years in the wilderness for the children of Israel. It was 40 days and 40 nights of raining for Noah on the ark. It was 40 days, I believe, if you'll study, that Goliath walked out before the armies of God and the armies of Israel and challenged them to send a man. And so the number 40 of the Word of God relates to trials and testings that we, as the people of God, go through. I'm going to say, and I'm not here again to start any debate or uproar. I'm going to say that in these days that we're living in, call it what you want to call it. Call it a virus. Call it a pandemic. Call it the judgment of God. Call it whatever you want to call it. But I believe the church is in a period of trial and testing. And I believe with all my heart that God's going to weed out the fake from the real. In the midst of all of this, we're in testing. We're in trial. But don't lose heart tonight. But there's somewhere to go. But there's someone to look to. But there's help in the midst of the trial and the testing. Noah here receives his command from God. I'm just going to give you three things that are on my heart. Just very simple and elementary, but boy, my heart's been heavy today. It's been a working inside of me. It's been a stirring inside of me. And I believe somebody out there listening under the sound of my voice, I may not know who you are and probably don't, but you're in trouble. And you feel like all the weight of the world's on you. And you're in the hardest test.
Noah felt that way while he was on board the ark, and the rain was coming down, and the flood waters were coming up. Don't you think he thought, this is the worst I've ever experienced in my life? But then he remembered, God made provision for a window up there on the top of the ark. I began to think about that window. And to be honest with you, when the Lord first put it on my heart, I had no idea what I was going to say. And if I was to be honest with you, the majority of the day today, I had no idea what I was going to say. But long about 4 o'clock today, the Lord began to work in my heart about this window in the time of trouble. And I'm telling you, I thank God that the church may be in trials and the church may be in testing, but I'm glad there's a window that we can look to and we can look through. And I'm glad there's help to be found in the window of the ark of God. I thought about this window. There's Noah, his wife, and his boys, and their wives, and all the animals inside the ark. They're shut out from everybody else. If you want to talk about isolation, Noah's in the greatest sense of isolation that ever has been. It's just him and his family cut off from all the world. There was not a single other living soul outside the doors of the ark. They were shut in, and everybody else was shut out, and they were isolated there. I'm glad up in the top of that ark was a window. You say, preacher, this ain't making no sense to me. I hope it does. By the time I'm done, I hope and pray that it'll touch your heart like God's touched it in mine. But I'm going to tell you, that window, you ain't knowing somewhere to look to, and that was up. Noah couldn't look anywhere else. But God didn't want Noah looking out. And God sure didn't want Noah looking in. Because there was no power in Noah to fix or remedy his situation. But God said, Noah, when you build that ark, put that window in the top, put it above, where you can look up and find help from me. I'm glad we got somewhere to look to. I'm glad we can look up. Jesus said, when you see all these things come to pass, lift up your head. Look up, your redemption has brought nigh. We got a whole lot of people, and I'm not belittling anybody or browbeating or bashing anybody. But the problem we have today in our churches and in our nation is that everybody wants to look out. They want to look to the drugstores. They want to look to the pharmacists. They want to look to the doctors. They want to look to the political leaders for help, but they ain't got no business of looking out. There's no help there. And some want to look in. They think, if I can do this or I can do that, then it'll help me. But you ain't got no business looking in. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. There's no good there. But we can look up and see that God's there. He can help us in our trouble. Oh, Isaiah. In Isaiah 6, he had a good record. I'm telling you, if you go by what Isaiah said, you'll find out that looking up will help you more than anything else will. Isaiah's over there, and he's looking out, looking at what the people were doing. He was so disgusted and so discouraged about what was going on. He was just saying, woe's you, woe's you, woe's you. He was looking at himself, and he thought, I'm no good. I ain't making a difference. But oh, about chapter number 6, he stops looking out, and he stops looking in, and he gets to look up, and he said, I saw the Lord. I lifted up, and it changed Isaiah forever. Now he looked out, and instead of being aggravated and agitated at what the people were doing, instead of saying, just let them go on and do what they're going to do, but now Isaiah is saying, here am I. Oh Lord, send me. I don't want my people to continue in the shape they're in. But send me, I'll help them. I'll help them. I'll go for you. And you say, what change? Isaiah looked up. I'm going to tell you, if you want to change in your life, if you want to get your head up off the ground, if you want to stop being discouraged, if you want a little encouragement, then just look up tonight and look through the window. I bet we have somewhere to look. We don't have to look out as the church. I believe that's our trouble a long time ago. That somebody in the world convinced the church that she needed to look out and to bring in the games and the gimmicks and the frills and the thrills and the need to cut meetings and the kid programs. And we started looking out trying to get some help. But then somebody come along and said, well, man's really good. Just look in and find the good inside yourself. Jesus said, they ain't done good save the Father above. And I tell you, the church would be forever changed again. The spirit of the church would revive again. If we could just look up and get some help from God tonight. I believe that's right. The Bible said to set your affection on things above. Ain't that amazing that the Bible said in verse number 16 that he put it above? Set your affection on things above. He said, if you be risen with Christ, in Colossians 3 and 1, he said, then seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated. The church has no business. The people of God have no business of looking out to the world or into their self. But we better look up and get help tonight. Glad there's help in him. I'm glad in that window, in the midst of all his trouble, and in the midst of all his trials, I'm glad Noah had somewhere to look, and that was good. But I will say, somewhere to look wouldn't do any good unless there's someone to look to. I sure am glad there's a God in heaven that knew right where old Noah was. A matter of fact, Noah might not have sensed him all the time. But when it's time to come in, God didn't say go in. He said come in. Which meant he was in there already waiting on Noah. And when it was all over, he said go forth. Which meant he was still in there. I'm here to tell you, child of God, it don't matter how bad the storm is, how dark the clouds have rolled over, God's still in you. He'll help you. The God of the mountain is still the God of the valley. They learned that in the Old Testament. The armies, the enemies of Israel, said we'll whip them in the valley. For their God's just the God of the hills. And they figured out that God was God of the valley, just like he was in the mountaintops. And he can be your help too. I'm glad we got somebody to look to. I thought about that window. And the Bible talks about Noah opening it. I'm glad we have open access. Now I understand that if God was in the ark, Noah didn't have to open the window to get access to him. But I'm just trying to use it as a type and a picture of an open window that we have access unto God. The Bible said, let us. Who is the us? That's the saying. That's the children of God. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We can come therefore. You say, what's the therefore? If you go back to verse number 15, it talks about seeing them. We have this great high priest, which can be touched in the feelings of our infirmities, that is able to succor them who are tempted, that is the mediator of a better covenant, established on better promises. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying because we have somebody to look to, that we can't have help tonight. So there was access. Then I thought about, you turn over and read over there in chapter 8, I think it is, when Noah, when the flood's over, and he wants to figure out if the waters are gone, you know what old Noah does? He don't write to somebody there ain't nobody to write to. He don't call in somewhere there ain't nobody to call to, but he opens up the window. He opens the window and sends that dove out. And you know what happens on that last time? But when she then returned, the Bible said, oh, Noah knew that the waters were abated. And you say, what happened? Noah looked through the window and he got assurance. Some of you are struggling and you need some assurance that everything's going to be all right. Just sling the window of heaven open and call out to God. I understand that we don't have no power over it. But you understand what I'm saying? Look to the one and where the one is and call out to him. He can still help you. Thank God. There's somewhere to look to. There's someone to look to. But then lastly, I'm done. I hope maybe it's been a help to your heart. I feel like I can't preach it like it's in my heart to preach. But I want to say there wasn't just somewhere to look. And there wasn't just someone to look to. But that window was a place where some light could come through. You say, what are you talking about? Well, if you read over there in Genesis 6, where we read tonight, and verse number 16, you'll find out that the word window in the Hebrew is translated the same word that they use for noonday sun. It means the brightness of the light. I'm sure and glad and thankful that there's some light in the midst of this dark, dark day that we're living in. There's some light. I understand the darkness is upon us. I understand that the darkness is around us. I understand in those days, and it's the exact same in ours, that there was the darkness of sin. Of sin had run rampant, and it created darkness and turmoil. And we're in the same darkness today. But sin is on our land, and the darkness has come in. But not only that, the darkness of the storm. Can you imagine how dark it must have been in the middle of the storm? When Noah wondered about everybody and everything else. It must have been a dark time in his life. And I thought today, can you imagine what darkness of sorrow was on old Noah for the souls of all them men and women that had died unrepentant without God? Noah, the Bible called him a preacher of righteousness, and if he was a true preacher, and he was, the Bible wouldn't have said so, but then he would have had a compassion and a care and a concern for the souls of men. None of them listened. None of them heeded the warning. And oh, there was old Noah in the darkness of the sin, the darkness of the storm, in the darkness of his sorrow. But oh, thank God, up there in the top of the ark was a window for light to come in. And I'm going to tell you, some of you may have done give up hope and thought this is the darkest day you've ever seen. And I'm telling you, it's pretty dark. I know it is. But I want to tell you and testify tonight. If you'll study the scriptures and read your Bible, you'll find out that our God, that one we're looking to, that place we're lifting our eyes to, the psalmist said, I'll lift my eyes. That means to look up unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That God that we're looking to, that God that we're trusting in. Oh, it may be dark around your house, but my God does His best work in the dark. Oh, it was dark that day. But the Bible said the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But the Spirit of God moved, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And in the midst of the darkness, the creation came forth. And God done a work that day. And there's a day, oh, many years later, when a man named Jesus walked the earth. And he walked up to Calvary's hill. And he hung suspended between heaven and earth. And the Bible said darkness was on the face of the earth from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. And in the darkness he cried, it screeched, and it gave up the ghost. And God did a work in the dark. The veil of the temple was rent twain, signifying that access had been made unto the throne of God. They put him in a tomb and rolled the stone over the door, and it's dark in there. But I'm glad on that third and fourth morning, he got up and he done a work in the dark. And I don't know about where you were, but faith the way I did, the Bible way, that we were lost without sin, and in the darkness of sin, that we have loved darkness rather than light, because our deeds were evil, but thanks be unto God, that the God who commanded the light to shine in creation hath now shown in our hearts that to give knowledge of the face of Jesus Christ. And you say, what happened? But God works in the dark. I'm glad for the light. No matter how dark it is, no matter how much despair you're in, I'm not belittling your situation. I'm not belittling the situation we're all in. I'm not belittling the situation our nation's in. But I'm telling you what, if some of the people of God would look up to our helper and cry for light in the darkness, there'd be a changed bunch of people that would get help in the midst of their darkness. That's what I hope these days would be. Help for you in the midst of your darkness. Help for you in your trouble. Help for you in your sorrow. I'm glad to report to you tonight that there's a God in heaven who can do a work in your darkness. There's some light that can still shine, but the light of the glorious gospel is still shining brightly in this dark day. I'm glad there's a window where we can look up. I'm glad there's somebody we can look to. I'm glad there's some light that can come through in the midnight hour when we're tossed to and fro. I'm glad there's still a word from God, and I'm glad we can believe it and trust Him that everything is going to be all right. I pray to be a blessing and help to you.